I've lived in Bombay my entire life. This is my home. This is my life. And buildings like, you know, the Oberoi and the Taj Mahal Hotel, we've seen them since we were little kids growing up. This is like the heart of Bombay City. This is what Bombay is to us. And to see, you know, such reckless, disgusting incidents occurring is just heartbreaking.
One of the 20 million people in Mumbai today who's well into the emotional aftermath of the shocking attacks yesterday. There is still military activity going on, although some markets are open in Mumbai this morning. Joining us to talk about the latest taking place in what has been a tragic, brutal situation going on in the financial capital of India is Malini Agarwal, who's Mumbai presenter in Mumbai, who was with us yesterday and joins us from Mumbai. Malini, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
And Sadanand Dumay is an Asia Society fellow in Washington and author of My Friend the Fanatic, a book about Islamic militants. He joins us from Delhi. Sadanand, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Malini, let's begin with you. There is military activity this morning. There is a Jewish center under siege, the Lubavitcher Center in Mumbai. There appears to be military activity taking place right around there now. What do you have as the latest?
Well, the latest is, the good news is that they have managed to get the Oberoi Trident under control, and all the terrorists, the two that were remaining, have been killed. They have been letting people in now to sort of recover bodies and also see some of the people who had stores inside. And there's horrific sights inside. I got a call from a friend who was there, and he said that this lady just walked in and found her dead brother and was just, I could hear her screaming in the background. Apart from that, Nariman House is still under siege. At the Taj, there's believed to be one terrorist still at large. He's apparently at one of the ballrooms, and they don't know if he has any hostages or not, but he's still firing 36 hours later. There was a bit of panic earlier today because as a precautionary matter, you know, they decided to put all the TV channels, all the news channels blanked out. So everyone started to panic since the phone lines were jammed. And there was rumors all over about new fresh attacks at BT station, at CST, at Andheri station. So actually there was a lot of mass running around for a while. Then everybody quickly got on board on the radio stations and television came back on saying, please don't panic. This is all just a hoax. Please just stay indoors, stay home, and don't believe rumors, because rumors have just been spreading now that there's more going on and that there's some, you know, Maruti van driving around shooting, but none of this is true.
Well, the authorities attempting to control the flow of information, both on the media and in terms of like texting and internet traffic,
yes,
has been very, very difficult and has really led to the sense of chaos. I don't know if you're on top of this at all, Malini, but there are reports coming out of the nature of some of these attackers and the kinds of things they were carrying with them, credit cards, identity papers, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Do you have any of that information?
Well, I don't have great detail on that, but I did hear, I mean, this was quite a chilling story. Some time ago, a friend of mine was telling me he was actually at the Taj around 8 o'clock, and he was talking to the manager, and three guys walked in plain clothes, and he later recognized them as the attackers because he was there when they stormed the Taj later. And apparently they had checked into room 216 with all their luggage, and I'm assuming explosives, and they were in plain clothes. And he had said to the manager that, you know, how come, as a joke, you're letting such shady people in these days? And the manager replied saying, yeah, there's been so many shady people today, I don't know what's going on. And this exchange happened at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Wow, okay.
And a few hours later, there was absolute mayhem. So the thing is that it's clear that, and the one thing that shocked everyone I know is the nature of these attackers. You look at their pictures, they're barely 20 years old. They look like, you know, pretty well-dressed, well-fed, nothing like we would imagine a terrorist to be. So the great fear is, like, how do we even recognize them in the crowd? I mean, I've even heard that perhaps two of them had been working at the Taj for some time. So it's just absolutely impossible to distinguish them. So they definitely have the means to check into a hotel and set up a control room in advance at the Taj as well.
Very organized. And there are some reports that they were carrying identity papers from Mauritius and were carrying numerous forged credit cards that were valid.
It's clear that they have a great deal of support, and these are the ones on the
right ground
that are executing the plans, but they obviously have a large amount of money at their disposal, and a great deal of planning has gone into it.
Sadanand Dumay, what do you think what do you think that suggests? I mean, there's a lot of planning here, and clearly this is a well-organized attack, but they're also openly exploiting a sense of vulnerability that's now been revealed in the security services in India.
Oh, definitely, without question. I mean, I think at this stage it's very important to separate fact from rumor. And a lot of what we're hearing, a lot of the sort of fine detail, is in fact at this stage rumor. We don't know whether this sort of, you know, we're going to end up with information on people with credit cards from Mauritius or whatever. But what we do know is that this group is highly organized, well-trained, tenacious, and capable of carrying off an audacious attack right in the heart of India's financial capital. Now, it seems that the Indian government is blaming Pakistan, and when the evidence comes in, if it turns out that some of the people who have been captured, in fact, turn out to be from Pakistan, it would then point most likely to a group or an offshoot of Lashkar-e-Taiba, which is not a part of Al-Qaeda, but is broadly of the same ideological persuasion.
What would the mission there be, to drive a wedge, a greater wedge, between India and Pakistan? And can you dissect the nature of what the Indian foreign minister said, that elements of from Pakistan are behind the attack, as opposed to Pakistan is behind the attack, or something more specific?
Well, the reason they're sort of parsing their language quite carefully is that they want to be able to draw a distinction between terrorists who may be Pakistani, and of course we don't know this for sure at this stage, but it appears likely, that terrorists who may be Pakistani and terrorists who would directly have been sent by the Pakistani government or elements of the Pakistani government, most likely the ISI or the Inter-Services Intelligence, which is the intelligence arm of the Pakistani military. The reason for passing the language is that that is not known. And of course, the complexion of this problem and the kind of action it would require would be very, very different if it were, in fact, traced back to the Pakistani government as opposed to being traced back to Pakistani soil. Both of them are grave situations, but one is clearly graver than the other.
Now, again, I actually endorse your mission to separate fact from rumor here, but one of the key difficulties in this entire story is trying to figure out what the mission of these terrorists is, other than just creating chaos and exploiting vulnerability in Mumbai. What are they saying in Delhi about the idea that, you know, the mission behind this is to isolate India, a nation of a billion people? How can that possibly be accomplished?
Well, it's not a question of isolating per se, but it is a question of dealing India, which is a modernizing country, which is, and Bombay really being at the nerve center of that modernization, and India's love affair with globalization, if you will, dealing a very severe blow to that. And that can be done, and I believe that has been done. And what these groups are driven by is really quite similar the world over. They're driven by a very deep mistrust of modernity. They are driven by very deep suspicion of people who they feel as are threatening to their worldview and their particular interpretation of their faith. And so the logic of it is really, to me, not dramatically different from, say, the logic of blowing up a bar in Bali or the logic of taking over a school in Beslan in Chechnya. It's not logic that you and I would understand, but there is a consistency for people who hold that particular mindset.
Molly, before we go, I want to go back to you. What's the latest in front of the Chabad Center in Mumbai? Do we know?
Yeah, just on TV right now, I'm watching, and they're saying there's been a fresh explosion, and there's still fire, back and forth. Apparently, there was a little while ago, we saw a very strange sight. There was somebody in a window inside Narman House waving what appeared to be like a white shirt, to be like a white flag. There was a lot of speculation on whether it was someone who's trapped inside or, you know, whether it was some sort of random terrorist ploy. But the latest is that there are fresh attacks on there, and they've had commandos now drop in by helicopter as well. They're just now on TV. Three more explosions at Narman House. So it looks like the siege is continuing, and this is the last one. It's going to take a little time for this to be under control.
Although broadly, the markets are open again in Mumbai, and people are returning to work, and there is a certain amount of normalcy returning to the city, even though there is this siege continuing at the Chabad Center.
Absolutely. All schools and colleges are back open, but because of the panic today, most people have left work. In fact, in Midtown, near Thardew and Worleys, the police actually were on the ground telling people to shut shop.
Great. Well, Malini Agarwal, thanks so much, as always, for joining us, presenter at Radio 1 in Mumbai, and Sudhanan Dume from Asia Society, the Asia Society Fellow from Washington, in speaking to us from Delhi. Thanks so much to you.
You're most welcome.
After this that has happened in Bombay, that little tourist that did come to Bombay, the expats that are in Bombay, they will always have a fear to come to a place which is so open, which is so lively, which is so welcoming.